All right, today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud Aleph. We left off in daf Yud Amud Beis. We're holding by the third statement, I believe, of Rava Bar Mechasya, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav. We had the first two yesterday. We're going to have a series, I think we said, of nine different statements of Rava Bar of Rava Bar Mechasya, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav. So we're about six lines, seven lines before the lines get wide in daf Yud Amud Beis. Says the Gemara. Person should not differentiate one child amongst his other children. Because of the weight of two sloyim of fine cloth that Yaakov gave to Yosef, when Yaakov gave Yosef the ksodos pasim, Yosef mishar banav more than any of his other children, niskanu boechav. His brothers became jealous of him. Led to another, and next thing you know, the Klal Yisrael is in Mitzrayim. So it wasn't a good idea. You see what tragic results that happened when one son was favored over the other children. If you look at Tosos, Dibur Maskel Hachi Garcina and Iskagla Davri Yodav Vesilim Mitzrayim, Viafagav the Belav Hachi Nigzar. Frek Tosos, wait a second. Did we end up in Mitzrayim because Yaakov favored one child over the other? No, Pasuk says, Bereshis Perek Tazva, Vavadum Vino son, that HaKadosh Baruch already promised Avram Avinu way before Yaakov was even born, that one day your children are going to go into land and they're going to be in Galus and they're going to be persecuted. So how could the Gemara say that it was because of the favoritism that Yaakov showed toward Yosef? So says Tosfos, Shemelo haye nigzer aleim inoy kol kach el al yidei zeh. Shari arba meo shana hizchilu kodem shenol yitzchak lamed shanim. So he says maybe it wasn't supposed to be so bad, and the koshi of the Galus, the difficulty of the Shibud Mitzrayim, was much, much worse because of what Yaakov, because of the favoritism that Yaakov showed for Yosef. But the actual galus was predetermined anyway that it was going to happen. The Maritz Chayis just points out over here, he says, no, maybe the way to answer this question is, after the Tarit, says Maritz Chayis, Dilfiya klal shekosvu lanu chazal, megalglin zuchus al yidei zakai, v'chova al yidei chayiv. We're going to have a Gemara later on in this Masechta, that good things happen through good people, and when Hashem wants to do bad things, he has bad people carry out the plans of bad things. Same came, gam ka nami, emes hadavar yuridasun mitzrayim oysal yidei gzeres ben absarim. Certainly as part of the Brisbane of Sarum, we had to go down to Mitzrayim. Achein, Mizesh, Rinush, and Isgalgal, Dover, Ayide, Zesh, Hilbish, Yosef, son is Pasim, yes, Al Sharechav. But how did it practically happen? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu carry the plan out? Through what Yaakov Avinu did by giving the son is Pasim to Yosef. So you see that it must have been an Aveira to do that. It must have been something wrong to give that son is Pasim to Yosef. Otherwise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never would have had something bad come out, Al Yide Zakai, through someone who was doing something good. It's only Al Yide Chayiv that it would come about. So the actual fact that we were going to go down, that was already decided. Brisbane Absarim. He says that's lashon nisgalgel hadavar, not that nigzar hadavar. Nigzar hadavar has been absarim. How did it actually happen? How did it play out? Nisgalgel hadavar. That happened through Yaakov favoring one child over the other. In the Omer Hashichcha, which is also in the back of the Gemara, I'm not sure who it is. It probably has a list somewhere over here of who wrote all these different svarim. But there's a sefer that it has Omer Hashichcha. Rabbi Yishaya Pick. Oh, okay. So Rabbi Yishaya Pick, the Omer Ashicha, Omer with an Aleph, not with an Ayin. He says, I assume, based on this comment and based on nothing else, and the title of the Sefer, that he points out places where Svarim had forgotten to write certain things. Because he says that if the Rambam in Perek Vav, Hilchus Nachlos, Halach Yud Gimel, writes, Tzivu Chacham Shlo Yishana Adam Ben Bein Abanim B'chayav, V'afilu B'davar Mu'at, that a person should not show favoritism to one child over another, even in something very minor. Shalo yavli day tachrus, that it shouldn't come to any fighting, v'kina and jealousy, kachay Yosef and Yosef, like the brothers of Yosef with Yosef. The Tur in Choshe Mishpat Simon Reish Beis mentions this as well. So why does the Omer Hashicha talk about this? The Mechaber doesn't say a word about this. The Rambam quotes it. The Tur quotes it. The Mechaber doesn't mention this at all. And he says, not only that, the Smag doesn't seem to say it either. Even on the Yen Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, on the side of the page, it tells you, look in Smag, he says, I looked and it's not there. So he doesn't understand why it is that the Shulchan Aruch leaves it out. The Omer Hashicha. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. Fourth teaching of Rava bar Mechasi Amar Rav Chama bar Guri Amar Rav, the Amar Rava bar Mechasi Amar Rav Chama bar Guri Amar Rav, the Olam Yechazer Adam Yeshev V'ir She Yeshivasa Krova. When you're looking for a new home, it's always better to move into a newer community. Shemitoch She, it doesn't mean a newer from community, it means a newer community, a city that was just built. Shemitoch She Yeshivasa Krova Avonoseh Muatin, because the fact that it was dwelled in more recently, so it has fewer, a smaller accumulation of Averos. Once it's been well established, so there have been a lot of averos that have gone on there over the years. It's a very negative perspective. I don't know why we don't say they don't have that many zechuyos yet over all the years, all the good things we do in communities. I don't know. Shenemar hinena yer azos krova lanus shama v'hi mitzar. My krova, what does it mean the city is krova? Ilema krova de mikrova v'zuta v'kachazula. If he means to say that it's close by, well, they could see that. That's obvious that it's close by. Why does he have to say that it's a city that's krova? Elimitok she yeshivasa krova. No, what he means to say is that since it's it was more recently settled, so it must have fewer averos in that city. Amar Rav Yavin Mikro, what's the pasuk that tells us this? Tachsiv, because the pasuk says imolta nashama, let me escape over there. Now, no b'gematria gimel nun v'chad havi. No is a gematria of 51. V'shal Sodom nun v'beis. But Sodom was dwelled in for already 52 years. V'shal vasa chavav, and its time of peace was 26 years. D'chsiv shteim es reishana avdu es kedol omer. V'shal shesh reishana mardu barba es reishana. Pasuk says that for 12 years they served kedol omer. 13 years they rebelled, and barba es reishana So Rashi points out that when they were being Ovid as Kedor Lomer Einze Shalvav, Yidgimul Mardu Einze Shalom, Shaiber Melchamos. So how many years are left of actual Shalom? Harei Chafei Shanim, Rishnas Chavav, Nerar Kedor Lomer, Vaisa B'Shalva, Chavav Hanosar, Minun Beis. Of the 52 years, there were only 26 years remaining that were going to be of Shalva of peace. Okay, Rav Bar Mechasi, Rav Chaim Bar Guri, Rav. A fifth statement of Rav Bar Mechasi, Rav Chaim Bar Guri, Rav. Three lines from the top, Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph. Kol Ir Shegago Seh Gavon Mi Beis HaKnesses L'Sof Charva. Any city whose roofs are higher than the roof of the shul, so ultimately they're going to be destroyed. Shenemar L'Romim Es Beis Elokeinu U'Lahamid Es Charvosav. Because the pasuk says to raise up the Beis Elokeinu and to erect those the ruins and the destroyed parts of the city. So the Birkei Yosef already asks, how do you see anything from this pasuk that this houses that are above the shul or the city whose houses are above the shul are going to be destroyed? All the pasuk says is in the positive that you should raise up the shul above everything else. You should raise up the Beis Elokeinu. So Birkei Yosef in Siman Kuf Nun writes that it's a diuk. That just like Meromim Beis Elokeinu Mamid Es Churvosav, just like when you raise up the Beis Elokeinu, so you're going to be Mamid the Churvos, you're going to raise up and you're going to erect all the destroyed places, all the ruins. Kach Misheinu Meromim Machrev Es Omed. So when you do the opposite, then the opposite is going to happen. When you're not Meromim the Beis HaKnesses, when you don't raise up the Beis HaKnesses above all the other places, then Machrev Es Omed. Then you're going to be destroying those things that are standing. So says Gemara, Vani Mili Bebatim. That's only true of houses that are above the shul. Aval B'Kishkushe Ve'Evrure. There are office buildings. There are different things that are towers, security towers. Those things less than, but it's not a problem. What's the Kunz of Kishkushe v'ivurei. What's the nature of Kishkushe v'ivurei? So Rashi just says, Birunios umigdalim, large buildings and towers. Now, if you look in the Tosfos Yeshanim on the side of the page, he writes, V'amar Rabbeinu Yaakov dahani gagan didon ki kishkushe damyan l'fi she'in mishtam shenaleim k'mo she'irigil nishtamesh al gagosein b'yimei chachamim l'fi ze ein tzarech lagbiya beis haknes yosem yishar gagan. He says, our roofs you don't have to worry about so much because no one uses our roofs. We're talking about an area that's above the beis haknes that people actually use. That's a big discussion in the poskim about having a residence over a shul. When you have a shtibel, is that okay? That people are actually using mamish, the area directly above the shul. So that seems to be serious problems, but... But the Gemara over here is saying that in terms of having the shul as the highest structure in the city, That's only the Tosfos Yeshanim is mechadesh. It's a great chiddush that that's only a problem if the places that are higher are in use. Amar Ravashi, no avdi l'masa mechasi d'lo charva. Ravashi says, I have ensured that masa mechasi will not be destroyed. So fraktamar var charva. What do you mean? Masa mechasi was destroyed. Where's masa mechasi? Right, it's no longer. So me'osa avon lo charva. No, the Gemara says all he's done, he's ensured that it wouldn't be destroyed from that sin as a result of having other houses that are above the shul, because he made sure when they were planning the construction of the shul that the shul would be the highest place in the entire town. The Rav Zilberstein and Chashuk Echemet raises the question, how do you define city? That the shul has to be the tallest place in the city. So, if you have a shul in New York, it has to be the tallest place in New York City. So does that count all five boroughs? Do you count only your boroughs? Do you count only your town, your neighborhood, your chatzar, your block? How do you define what's called an ear? So he says that there's a tshuva from the Michtam LeDavid, tshuva hey, a frightening tshuva, about a Beis HaKnesses Shebechatzer HaYehudim, Higbiyu Yosu Mikol HaBatim Shebechatzer. There was a shul, and they built it above all the other houses in the chatzer, and one of the Balabatim, his family was getting large, and they didn't have enough room in his house, so he expanded his house up, and he built his house above the shul. And Rachmana Litzlan, the children that got the brand new bedrooms on the upstairs, they all got ill, and they all died. And then one of his other children came down with the same illness, and he didn't die, but then they moved him up to one of the rooms on the top for just a moment. He went up to get something, and he felt very sick when he was up there, and he came back down, and he got a little bit better, but he never returned to himself. So he's worried that he caused all this to happen. So what's the story? Should he destroy his house? Should he take this as a siman min hashamayim? So the Michtam LeDavid writes, nearly pasha de'ein mils. Oh no, and he points out that what was he relying on? That the Berhetev. That the Berhetev and Simon Chofnun writes that nowadays when there are other houses anyway that are taller than the shul, we live amongst the Gayim and they build houses that are taller than the shul, so you don't have to worry about this. The whole point is you should walk into a town, look up and see the shul, and that's the Kavod Shemayim. But if everyone else is building houses taller than the shul, so it's not going to be a big, it's not going to make any difference, because no one's going to see the shul as standing out anyway as the tallest place in the city. So the guy was relying on that Berhetev. So says the Michtam David, nearly pashu de ein milsi de berhetev amura ela biir shabatei shalmu uravin im batei agayim. He says that's only if the Jews and non-Jews live in the same community and the non-Jews are building houses that are taller than the shul. So the berhetev says, so there's no point in making your house dafka shorter than the shul. It's not going to be noticeable anyway. But if you have a neighborhood that's an entirely Jewish neighborhood, so yeah, there may be non-Jews that have their houses taller than the shul, but they're not in your neighborhood, even though they may be in your city, so to speak, but they're not in your neighborhood. So then the halacha would still definitely apply that you're not allowed to build your house taller than the shul. And he tells this guy, that's why you're having the tzaros, because in your chatzer, which is your immediate vicinity, it's all Jews, and you're the only one that built it higher than everybody else. So even though the Michtam LeDavid says it l'chumra, meaning this idea that you can go by neighborhood rather than city, l'chumra, Pashtus is the svara would apply l'kula also, that the idea of building the shul taller than everything else means taller than the surrounding Jewish neighborhood, not taller than every building in the entire city. The Sfasemes over here in his commentary to the Gemara says Yesh la'ayin bi'ir gedola. What if you have a large city that has many shuls? Is it good enough to have one Beis HaKnesses that's taller than, or do you have to make sure that every Beis HaKnesses is taller than all the houses? So the Sfasemes says that it seems to him that having one is enough. That already ensures Kvot Shemayim. So the Young Israel serves as our I think it's probably tallest building in North Woodmere. So that helps the rest of us out. So we could, so that we're Yotze the Sfas Emes. That's what they say in the name of the Chaznish, that the Panovich Yeshiva in Bnei Brak, which is taller than any of the other buildings in the city, is Matzil Akol Bnei Brak. It saves everything else in all of Bnei Brak. So that you're allowed to rely on that. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Vam Rav Chama's sixth statement now. Vam Rav Chama Bar Mechasi, Am Rav Chama Bar Gu Yom Rav. Am Rav Bar Mechasi, rather. Am Rav Chama Bar Gu Yom Rav. Tachas Yishmael Vlo Tachas Nachri. If you have to work for somebody, better to work for someone who's a Yishmaeli rather than a regular regular Nachri. Tachas Nachri v'lo tachas Chaver. Better to work for a Nachri than to work for a Chaver. Rashi says a certain nation called, it's like Parsiim, that are called Chaverim. It's not, we're not talking about a Talmud Chacham, because the next one is Talmud Chacham. Tachas Chaver v'lo tachas Talmud Chacham. Better to work for a Chaver, not to work for a Talmud Chacham. Why would you not want to work for a Talmud Chacham? Says Rashi, im yaknitenu ya'anishenu, because sometimes we annoy our employers. Sometimes employers annoy us, sometimes we annoy our employers, and you're going to get punished for that if he happens to be a Talmud Chacham, if you cause tsar to a Talmud Chacham. And he says that's why the Gemara is going to say the next line, tachas talmid chacham lo tachas yasam v'almana, better not to work for yasam and almana, because Rashi points out tim asan mitzuya, then yasam and almana will cry more easily, and if they have a tough day because their employees didn't respect them and didn't do the job or whatever, so they're gonna be upset, and we're gonna be nenash for causing them the agmas nefesh. Seventh statement, v'amar Rav bar Mechas yom Rav Chaim bar Gur yom Rav, kol choli v'lo choli me'ayim, of any illness, it's better to have any other illness rather than a stomach ailment. Kol ke'ev v'lo ke'ev lev, any pain but not heart pain. Kol mechush v'lo mechush rosh, I'm trying to come up with different words for not feeling well, any mechush, any sort of discomfort and not head discomfort. Kol ra'a, any sort of evil a person could tolerate, but v'lo isha ra'a, not an evil wife. An evil woman is the worst thing that a person could possibly have to suffer through. Because she's the most important influence on his life and is going to spend the most time with him and influence his happiness overall, his overall happiness in general. So an isha ra'a could be a very negative influence and could make him very unhappy. The eighth statement, v'amar Rav bar Mechas yom Rav Chaim bar Gur yom Rav, im yu kol yamim diyo, kol yamim diyo, v'agamim kulmosim, v'shamayim yirios, v'kol b'nei adam lav lorin, if all of the seas were ink and all of the agamim, all of the swamps were quills, and all of the heavens were parchment, and all the people were scribes. Ein maspikim lichtov, so you expect it to say the shevach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we wouldn't be able to write like we say in Nishmas. No, what does it say? Ein maspikim lichtov chalala shal rashus, the depths of the responsibility of a government. Running a government is not easy. There's so many things to worry about. There's so many details to take care of. Rashi says omek libam shoot Tzarech lios lo lev l'kama medinos l'mas hakotzov l'kamal milchamos l'kama mishpatim. They have to worry about the taxes. They have to worry about the wars. They have to worry about the laws. V'akol b'yomecher, and the government has to take care of this every day, all day. So it's not easy to be in government. Sometimes we're a little too judgmental of our government officials. We don't realize just how difficult the job is. So Mikra, what's the pasuk? Amra Mishashia Shemayim l'rom v'eretz l'omek v'lev malachim. Yeah, the heaven is high, the earth goes down deep, but Lev Malachim Ein Cheker. There's no way to even measure, there's no way to even grasp the depths of the Lev of a Melech. Ninth statement of Rav Avam, Rav Avam, Rechas Yamar, Rav Chaim bar Gur Yamar Rav. Yafa Tainus L'Cholom Ke'ish L'Na'ores. A fast is as good for a dream. If a person has a bad dream, fasting will destroy the dream as fast, as quickly as fire will destroy flammable material. So it's a good thing to do. If a person has a bad dream, to fast. Am Rav Chista Ubo Bayom. Rav Chista says, yeah, that's great if you fast that same day. But fasting after that day is over, it's already too late. So there's a discussion in Poskim. Is this only Tainus Chalom that has to be Bo Bayom? What about other Tainios that a person takes upon himself? So the Torah writes that that certainly Tainus Chalom you have to do that day. And Beis Yosef says, the Beis Yosef points out that because it has to be done that day, you're not allowed to make it up on a different day. You can't be Malava, the Gemara is going to say. You can't take a loan on the fast. However, the Torah says this is not the only one. If a person has a Yom Yadua, a certain day that calls for fasting, like a Yahrzeit, or something like that, so also you shouldn't make it up on another day. You should dafka fast on the day of the yard site. He also quotes, let's say a person drops his tefillin, Magen Avraham Sim Mem Dalid talks about how a person should fast on the day he drops his tefillin. So he says that's similar to a tainus for a chalom. Why is it that it has to be done that day? Because that day you were shown a dream means that the dream is supposed to have an impact on you that day, that there was some sort of gezeira. It's supposed to be a simen min hashamayim. Dropping the tefillin is the same idea, that it's also some sort of simen min hashamayim, that pumped on that day, you happen to have dropped your tefillin, so that's why you should dafka fast on that day. That's what the Chuvus Mari Brona writes, that you should dafka fast on that day. V'amar Rav Yosef, afilu b'Shabbos. Rav Yosef says, even on Shabbos, even if that day is Shabbos, you do a tainis chalom on Shabbos. We do very few tainios on Shabbos. We don't do Tisha B'Av on Shabbos, we don't do Shavuot B'Tamuz on Shabbos. We do Yom Kippur on Shabbos, a tainis chalom on Shabbos, and there's only one more fast that we would do on Shabbos if our calendar would allow it to fall out on Shabbos, that's Asar B'Teves, right? But those are the only fasts that we do on Shabbos. There's a well-known Chassam Sofer, I think, that tries to explain why it is that those three fasts are the fasts that we dafka do on Shabbos. Why is it, what would you assume? Is Tisha B'Av more serious than Asar B'Teves? Of course it is. So why is it that the Tisha B'Av is not done on Shabbos, and all these other serious fasts are not done on Shabbos, and only these three that I mentioned are done on Shabbos? So Chassam Sofer explains, I think in the name of the Abu Draham, that we fast on Shabbos when it's a tzara that we're worried about coming in the future, when we're trying to prevent something from happening. Person has a chalom, they assume it's a simin ra of what's going to happen in the future, so they fast in order to prevent the negative from happening. When we fast on Yom Kippur, it's for the coming year, it's for our chasimas hadin, for the whole year, it's we're praying for the future. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, we're being mis'avel al ha'avar, that which, no matter how important it is, when it's about the past, it's not going to be Docha Shabbos. What about Asar B'Teves? So Chassam Sofer says, he quotes that Asar B'Teves is the day that's determined whether we're going to have a Tisha B'Av of that year or not. It's the day that's determined whether the Beis Hamikdash is going to be rebuilt before Tisha B'Av of that year. So it's prospective, it's not retrospective, and that's why it's going to be Docha Shabbos. Rabbi Shur B'Reid Rav Idi Ikla Lebe Rav Ashi, Avdilei Igla Tilsur. Rabbi Shur B'Reid Rav Idi went to Rav Ashi, and they made a nice piece of meat. Amrle Lito Mar Midi, he said, why don't you have something to eat? Amrlu B'Tanis Yasivni, he says, I'm fasting today. Amrle V'lo Savrle Mar Lahad Rav Yudah Dam Rav Yudah Lava Adam B'Tanis of a Parea. Don't you hold of Rav Yudah's statement that you can borrow against the fast and pay it back a different day? Meaning, how often do you get a steak like this? Today has to be your fast. Eat now, you'll fast on a day where you have a tuna fish sandwich for lunch. You know, why wouldn't you do that? Amrle Tainis Chalom, he says, not just Stam a fast, this is a Tainis Chalom. And you know the statement that a tainus for a chalom is as good as is as effective as a fire on flammable material. And Rav Chisah said that only works on that day. And only that we would even do it on Shabbos. So that's the end of the nine statements of Rav Bar Mechasi and Rav Chan Bar Gurya Amarav. Now we go back to a discussion of what we said in the Mishnah. So on Tesam Beis we said v'mischilu ein mafsikin, that if you began a meal, you don't have to stop in order to daven, but mafsikin l'kriya shema. You do stop in order to say kriya shema. So it says Gemara Tana Leresha, ein mafsikin. But we already said, ein mafsikin. So how can you say that we are mafsik? So says Gemara, seif asal l'divrei Torah. The seif is coming to teach us in fact, if you look at Rashi, v'atana le'resha mischilu ein mafsikin v'gabei tefila kaminan, we're not asking a stiro, we're saying v'lamale le'mehadr le'misni v'ein mafsikin l'tefila. It already said in the resha that you don't stop in order to daven. Why does it have to repeat again v'mischilu ein mafsikin, that you don't stop in order to daven? Except this time it adds the exception of kriya shema, but why repeat that line of v'mischilu ein mafsikin? Hatanale Reisha in Mafsikin. It already says it in the Reisha. And so Gemara Seifa Asal Nadivrei Torah. Seifa is coming to tell me that when you're dealing with Torah, what does that mean when you're dealing with Torah? Detanya, like the Brisa tells us, Chaverim Shoyoskim B'Torah Mafsikin L'Kriyash Ma'aveh Mafsikin L'Tfila. It's coming to tell me not only when you're in the middle of a meal do you not have to stop the meal to daven, when you're in the middle of learning you don't have to stop your learning Seder. You should not stop your learning Seder in order to daven, but you do stop your learning Seder in order to say Kriya Shema. The Gemara quickly points out, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that's only for people who are Tarasan Umnasan, like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Someone like that shouldn't stop his learning in order to daven. But we stop our learning for Kriya Shema, we stop our learning for Tefillah, we stop our learning for much less important things than Kriya Shema and Tefillah, so we could stop our learning for Kriya Shema and Tefillah as well. But people who are Tarasan Umnasan should not stop their learning. But don't we have another braisa that tells us that just like you're not mafsik for tefillah, we're also not mafsik for kriya shema? How can we say in our Mishnah that we are mafsik learning for kriya shema? When do we not stop learning for the sake of kriya shema? That's when we're involved not just in learning but in being ma'aber the shana. So we're trying to set up the Jewish calendar. That's very important. Damar Rava, v'chein tanu sabi dahagronya, amar ablazer bar tzadik, sheyinu oskin v'yibur hashana b'yavne, when we were involved in yibur hashana and yavne, lo yinu mafsikin, lo le kriya shema, v'lo le tefila. We would stop for nothing, not for kriya shema, not for tefila. Tosfos has a couple of very interesting points over here. In the Tosfos, the second Dibra Maskel Kagon, they're out of order. The second Dibra Maskel Kagon, Kagon Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, the Chaverav, where it says Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, that's who wouldn't stop his learning in order to daven. Tosfos says, really? Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai? What do we know about Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai? Shabbos Dav Lamed Gimel. He was in the cave, right? He was one of the people in the cave. And what happened in the cave? So he didn't want his clothing to get worn out, so he would remove his clothing and bury himself up to his neck in sand and learn all day. And when would he put on his clothing? So the Gemara says, Vadam, come on, we're going to see later Shabbos Daf Lam Gimel, that's Lag Ba'omer, Sugi, that's how we always remember Lam Gimel's Lag, Ki Avamatis, Man Tefila, Lovish, Umichsi, Umitzli, that when it came time for davening, he would put on his clothing, and he would daven. So how could you say, Rav Shimon Ben Yochai, what do you think he was doing? He was learning Torah all day in the cave, and you told me Rav Shimon Ben Yochai is the example of Teras Mumnasa not to stop learning to daven. So why would he stop his learning to put on his clothing and to daven each and every day? So he says, tells an unbelievable chiddush. Who matzli anu kriyashma? When it says he would daven, it just means kriyashma. It doesn't mean that he would actually daven. Of course, he wouldn't daven, but for kriyashma, he's supposed to be mafsik, so he'd be mafsik for kriyashma. Maybe you have to put this on the list of sources as to the nature of kriyashma. Is kriyashma a kiyum of Talmud Torah? Is kriyashma, right? We saw many sources in brachos that kriyashma relates to Talmud Torah in some way or another. If a person misses man kriyashma, so afterwards, what does the Mishnah say? He's kikorei b'torah. So there is some sort of kiyum of Talmud Torah in kriyashma. We also have to discuss the role of kriyashma as part of tefillah, because if Tosla says that kriyashma, when it says that matzli, it means kriyashma, so then obviously he's assuming that Kriya Shema is a kiyum of tefillah as well, but it's a stronger kiyum because it has this this Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim element as well. Needless to say, not everybody answers like Tosfos answers. Rabbi Yonah in Brachos says that, you know, it's one thing to keep on learning and not to daven. It's another thing to never ever daven. For all those years in the cave, for all that time in the cave, there's no way he was going to never ever daven. So Rabbi Yonah says once a year. Once a year they would stop to daven, but not more, because you don't want to just quit on davening forever, even if Teras of Nasan. So once a year they would daven. Then all the Achronim discuss, yeah, which day? Which day would they choose to be the day of tefillah? Maybe Tisha B'Av is the best day to daven. You can't learn anyway. I don't know, but once a year that they would choose to daven. There are other answers given in the Achronim over here as well in terms of how they approached. How they approach this. In Shar Mitzion Balach over here, he points out that the Shitas HaRambam is Tefillah's Da'oraisa. So a separate question that will come back to answer this Kasha of Tosos, that Kriya Shema, the Rambam holds that Tefillah is Da'oraisa, right? So why is it that the Gemara distinguishes between Kriya Shema and Tefillah? That you're mafsik your learning for Kriya Shema, but you're not mafsik for Tefillah. They're both Da'oraisa. You mafsik your meal for Kriya Shema, but not for Tefillah. If they're both Da'oraisa, according to the Rambam. So the Yad David is Mitarit, so we're talking about someone who already said some sort of Tefillah Katsara. The Rambam just says you have to daven something every day. You don't have to say the full Shemone Esrei and the full everything every day. So we're talking about someone who already was Yotze some level of tefillah. And with that, he says, maybe we could be Miyashiv, the Kasha of Tosfos from Shem Ben Yochai, that love is from Michsi Umatzi, meaning according to the way the Rambam would understand this sugya, you are mafsik for tefillah if you haven't davened anything yet that day. Why would Rav Shem Ben Yochai get dressed to daven? Because you got to daven something. For a Doraisa, you have to stop. You're learning, you have to stop your meal for a Doraisa. It's just like Kriya Shema. The only reason the Gemara says not to do it for tefillah is because we're assuming you said Modani that morning. So for Shemone Esrei, you don't have to be mafsik to daven more, because that's only Midrabanan. Rav Shem Ben Yochai, at some point, would have to at least daven something. So for that, he would get dressed. And then the Shar Mitzvah Balach suggests differently. The Melech HaShlomo explains that only a hafsaka for tefillah alone, you don't have to be mafsik. But if you want to be mafsik for Kriya Shema, once you're being mafsik for Kriya Shema, you should also daven. Because now you're not learning anymore. You're stopping in order to say Kriya Shema, so now you're not learning. So once you're not learning, you should daven. So you shouldn't continue to daven. He says that would also answer Taisus Kasha. They had to be mafsik for Kriya Shema, so once they're mafsik for Kriya Shema, they would daven also. And that's why he would put on the clothing. So that's a very tiny Tosos, but very loaded couple of lines in Tosos. The previous Tosos also raised an interesting issue. So the we who are not Taras and Nasan, we're mafsik both for Kriya Shema and Tefillah. We just saw in yesterday's daf that Rabbi Zera says to Rabbi Yirmiya, what are you getting so excited to get up from the learning? We're not done saying the shir yet. Just because it's the zman for davening, you shouldn't stop the learning. It's as if, and someone who's meisir azno mishma Torah, someone who turns his ear away from Torah, even his tefillah is going to be a taweva. But wait a second, I thought we're supposed to be mafsik both for kriya shema and for tefillah. It's against yesterday's gemara. So it says you have to say that they were torasu umnasan and torasu umnasan. They were like Rav Shmuel Yochai, where they're not supposed to stop learning for davening. We are certainly supposed to stop learning in order to be able to daven. Okay, new mishnah in the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph says the mishnah lo yetze hachayet b'machto samach l'chashecha. This is a lighter topic. A tailor should not go out with his needle close to Shabbos, Shemi Yishkach V'yetze, because we're afraid that he's going to forget and he's going to end up carrying out his needle on Shabbos, after Shabbos already starts. V'lo Avlaver B'Kulmoso, and a scribe should not go out with his quill close to Shabbos, because again, we're afraid he's going to walk out with it once Shabbos starts as well. V'lo Yifales Kalev, a person should not clean off or burn out the lice from his clothing when it's close to Shabbos time. V'lo Yikra La'aranar, and on Shabbos, a person shouldn't read by the light of a candle, because we're afraid that he's gonna tilt the candle when it's difficult to read, and by tilting the candle, the oil might put out the flame a little bit. He's gonna violate the malacha of being mechabe or being mavir if he brings more oil to because he's not gonna be able to see as well, so he's gonna want to fuel the flame. The MS Amru Hachazan Roa Hechen Tinokos Karin Avalhu Lo Yikra. The one exception is that the chazan who has to see to it that the children are reading, he could go check to see what the children are up to using an Ora Ner, but he himself should not read. Rashi quotes a couple of deos what this means, who the chazan is. Rashi says, first day is chazan haknesses hamakra shiva korim. It's the gabai, the one who needs to call up people to the Torah. Pam shen yodei echen shrichon likros. Let's say the gabai doesn't know what week's parsha is that week's parsha. So that doesn't sound like a very good gabai, but one of the ways he'll check is he'll see what the children are doing shnai mikra vechatargum. So he'll listen into what the kids are learning that week, and then he'll know what parsha they're supposed to read from, so he's allowed to check in that way. Then Rashi says, no, Lishna Achrina Chazan means the Rebbe of the young kids, Malami Tinokos, and he wants to see where to begin the next day, where do they finish reading from, so he has to see where they're holding. So that's what it's talking about. Kayotzebo, similarly, and Rashi points out the problem is that this doesn't seem similar at all, so what does it mean, Kayotzebo, as we'll see, Lasos Harchaka La Avera Amru, a similar idea where we also do something to keep you away from an Avera, having nothing to do with Shabbos, having completely out of left field. Kayotzebo lo yochel azavim azavim ne hergal avera. Azav shouldn't eat together with azava, because of hergal avera they may come to have a romantic meal and then it's gonna lead to averos. You don't want that to happen, so azav shouldn't eat together with azava. Completely out of left field, it seems. Okay, tanan asam, we have a mishnah. Lo yamur adam b'rishus yachid v'yishte b'rishus harabim. A person shouldn't stand in Rosh Hashanah Yachid and drink in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. I mean, stick his head out with a cup of water in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and drink over the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or vice versa. Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the Yishter Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Aval im hichnis rosho verubal lemakom shushosa mutter. If his head and the majority of his body is in the place that he is drinking, then it's going to be mutter. V'chein begas, and also when it comes to a wine press, the Gemara Rashi right away points out on the top. The kamei mifarishla. Don't worry if you don't understand what that means. What in the world this has to do with wine press? We'll get to it. So yibayilu. Carmelus Mai. We said you're not allowed to lean over into a Rishus HaRabim from Rishus Yachid or vice versa. What about leaning over into a Carmelus, where it's going to be Pater Avalasar, where it's only Nos Isser Midrabanan, even if you picked up a cup of wine and brought it out from Rishus Rabim to a Carmelus, from Rishus Yachid to a Carmelus, you know it's only going to be Isser Midrabanan. So can you lean over? Do we make a Gzeira lest you might come to carry it out? So I'm Rabbi, he. Abai says, you're not allowed to carry from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a Carmelus, so you're not allowed to lean over a Carmelus and drink. It should be the same thing, just like you're not allowed to lean over from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabim. You can't lean over from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a Carmelus. Why should it be any different? Rava says, I'll tell you why it should be different. He gufa gzeira. Va'ana nekum v'nigzar gzeira l'gzeira. The whole Isra of carrying out to a karmelis is a gzeira, lest you come to carry to a rishus harabim. So we're going to make another gzeira, lest you come to carry to a karmelis. We don't make a gzeira l'gzeira. So a big discussion of the achronim. What's the difference between a gzeira l'gzeira versus, let's say, a trade rabbanon? We'll call shvus to shvus. You're not allowed to do a shvus to shvus unless it's makom mitzvah, makom tzorach gadol. Right? If you need someone, you need something done for you on Shabbos, so if it's a makom tzorach gadol, so you can do amir la'akum on an iser derabanan. You can't sleep because the light is on in the room, so you can do amir la'akum, turn off the light, because we assume that turning off an electric light is only an iser midrabanan, and it's a tzorach gadol of onuk Shabbos, being able to sleep at night, that's a tzorach gadol. But with absent a tzorach gadol, absent a tzorach mitzvah, shvus to shvus is absolutely forbidden. Why don't we say ana nekum nigzar gzeira l'gzeira? So first of all, a couple of places in Shas, Tosfos points out that there are plenty of places where we do make a gzeira l'gzeira. It's not a rule that we never make a gzeira l'gzeira, it's just something we're much less likely to do. When it's karov hadavar that it could happen, we often do make a gzeira l'gzeira, even though we do accept Rava's general approach not to go out of our way to make a gzeira l'gzeira. But aside from that, there is a difference between a shvus to shvus and a gzeira l'gzeira. Shvus to shvus is you have two separate isurim drabanan that happen to coincide. Meaning there's an isur drabanan of amir la'akum, which could apply to dinim da'oraisa, right? I mean, you can't do amir la'akum to light a fire for you, to cook for you. There's an isur drabanan of let's say turning off the electric light on Shabbos, right? That's an isur drabanan that stands on its own, that has nothing to do with amir la'akum. When you ask a guy to turn off the light, the two isurim drabanan coincide. So that's what we would call a shvus to shvus. That's going to be aser unless it's b'makom mitzvah, makom tzorach gadol. Gzeira l'gzeira is where one of the gzeiros directly addresses the other gzeira. Meaning, don't drink holding over a karmelis lest you come to carry to a karmelis. It's because we're afraid you're going to come to violate the other thing, which is only a gzeira. So it's only b'makom, the first gzeira. That's where we're not going to say to make a gzeira l'gzeira. Shetzer has a long discussion of this in Eretz HaTzvi, but we don't have time for it right now. So Amar Abaye, Mina Aminala. So Abaye says, how do I know this to be true, that I hold you do make a gzera l'gzera? I mean, Rava, you tell me we don't make gzera l'gzera, I hold you do. How do I know that we do? The Katani, because we just saw in this mission that we quoted, v'chein begas, that the same is true by a gas. Now, what does that mean? My gas, I rishus hayachid tanina. If the gas is a rishus hayachid, so we already know, we already learned that you're not supposed to lean from rishus hayachid to rishus harabim and vice versa. I rishus harabim tanina. If it's a rishus harabim, also we already know it. Elav karmelis must be telling me that a gas, even though a wine press is only a karmelis, you shouldn't lean over from rishus hayachid into a wine press and drink your wine, because we're afraid you're going to carry from the rishus hayachid into the karmelis. So don't you see that this rule applies even by a karmelis, not just by rishus harabim? Rava Amar v'chein begasin meiser. Rava says no, v'chein legas has nothing to do with the Shabbos. It's a completely different statement. It's about the halachos of meiser, whether you're allowed to drink near a gas without having taken shumas and meisros yet. V'chein Amar v'sheshes v'chein begasin meiser. What's the halacha? D'tnan. We have a separate mission that explains this. Shosin alagas bein alachamin bein alatzon in upatur divra meir. Rameiros, you could drink straight from the wine press even if you dilute the wine with hot water. What's the problem if you dilute it with hot water? You're not going to be able to pour the wine back into the wine press. Once you take it out and dilute it with hot water, it would ruin all the wine if you poured it back. So you're not going to be able to pour it back. So even though there's a certain finality to it, of taking it out of the wine press, still Rav Meir says you potter if you drink it. Rav Lazar says, no. If you dilute it with warm water, you're going to be chayiv, because then there was the finality to it that you've removed it. But cold water, you're going to be potter, because you could always return whatever is left over. So that's in terms of meiser. We're not worried. It has nothing to do with hotzah. It's just an issue of the halachos of taking off chumas and maestros. So when is it called the gemar melacha? When is it called that the wine is done, where it now becomes chayv and maestros? So that's what it means, v'chein begas. Nothing to do with anything else. So now the gemar is going to try to bring rayas about gzera l'gzera. Tanan lo yetzei chayv b'machta samach chashecha. We learned in our mishnah that the tailor shouldn't walk out with his needle close to nighttime, Shemi Yishkach V'yetzeh, lest he walk out at nighttime, lest he walk out on Shabbos with it. So my love, the tchuvalo bebigdo. What does it mean, the tailor with his needle? Where is he? He's holding it in his hand and he's not going to realize? No, it must be we're talking about, like tailors often do, that have a needle stuck into their beged, so they always have it available to them to use. So he's going to forget that it's in his beged. Now, when it's in his beged, that's ein derech hotzah bekach. That's not a normal way of hotzah. So that's only hotzah midrabanan, to carry a needle out when it's stuck into your beged. And yet, what are we saying? He shouldn't even walk out with it before Shabbos. Why? Gezerah, lest he do it on Shabbos. Don't you see this is a gezerah l'gezerah, and our Mishnah is willing to make a gezerah l'gezerah over here? So says Gemara Lo, Denaka Lebiyade. Who says our Mishnah is talking about where it's tchuvah lo bebigdo? Maybe we're talking about Denaka Lebiyade, where he's holding it in his hand, and therefore it would be otsa midaraisa if he would carry it out. So therefore, we're it's not a gzera. A gzera, it's only a single gzera. Tashma Gemara brings another raya. Lo yetzi achayit b'machta atchuvelo b'bigdo. It says in a brisa a little more detailed that not only that a teller shouldn't walk out with his needle, it says don't walk out with the needle. Hatchuvelo b'bigdo. That's in your beged where it's only in a sederabanan. My love be'erev Shabbos. Isn't that talking about an erev Shabbos? Just like our Mishnah is talking about an erev Shabbos. And don't you see? Therefore, it's a gzera l'gzera. Lo kitani b'Shabbos. No, that brisa is about Shabbos, that even though it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan, it's telling us about this Issur D'Rabbanan, that it is an Issur D'Rabbanan for the tailor to walk out with a needle even when it's just stuck into his clothing. Ay, v'atanya lo yitzei achayit b'machta atchuv lo bigdo be'erev Shabbos im chashecha. But we have another brisa. So our Mishnah is not a raya because our Mishnah doesn't tell us that the needle is in his beged. The first brisa we quoted is not a raya because that first brisa never told us that we're talking about Erev Shabbos. Maybe it's talking about Shabbos itself. But here we have a third brisa that says clear as day. It says the needle is in your beged. So that's one drabbanan. Plus it's only Erev Shabbos. That's another drabbanan. So don't you see you make a gzera l'gzera? Says, well, no, how many Rabbi Yehuda he? That price is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Damar uman deruchum naso chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda holds that for a tailor to walk out with a needle in his beged, he's going to be chayiv. Because that's a normal way. It's ain't derech hotzah for me to have a needle in my beged. But for the uman to have it, for the tailor to have a needle in his beged, for him, that's very normal. You have similar halachas by chatzitza. The halacha by chatzitza by a mikvah is that it's something that's a miyut she'eino makbid is not a chatzitza. What if it's something that most normal people are makbid about, but you yourself aren't makbid about? So the Rama says still, even if most normal people are makbid about it, you're just not so clean, so you don't care that your hands are dirty, so it's still going to be a chatzitza. But, says the Rama, if everyone in your profession is not makbid about it, let's say a woman is a painter, so painters in general aren't so worried that they have a little bit of paint on their finger. So that's not going to be a chatzitza for her, because for her it's not something that she's makbid about. So a similar idea with hotza'a, that if everyone in that profession goes out in that way, so then that's the derech hotza'a of that profession. D'tanya lo yetzei achayit b'machta atchuv lo bigdov lo nagar b'kiseim sheba azno v'lo the carpenter with his carpentry tool over his ear v'lo sorek b'mashicha sheba azno v'lo gardi b'ira sheba azno. They would carry a lot of things over their ears. V'lo tzavo b'dugma sheba tzavaro, with the cloth that shows what color the dye is, the sample. V'lo shulchani b'dinar sheba azno, the shulchani with the money. V'im yatza Pater Avalasser, Divra Meir. And if he does go out, it's only Pater Avalasser, according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Uman Derechum Nasal Chayiv, Veshar Kaladam Pater. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if it's an Uman Derechum Nasal, it's Derech Hotza Bekach. So he's going to be Chayiv. And if it's anybody else but an Uman Derechum Nasal, then he's going to be Pater. Rav Zilberstein, Chashuk Echemer over here, has a couple of interesting tshuvas relating to this lo yetzei achayit b'machto. He says, let's say a person, he says there was a story, a fellow in London, he got the shaila from, was sitting in shul, and as he's sitting in shul, he's looking at his jacket, and he realizes that he's got a sewing needle stuck to his jacket. Why? Because right before Shabbos, he noticed that he was missing a button, and he was in a big rush, and he started sewing on the button before Shabbos, and then one of his kids started crying, so he put down the jacket and ran to the kid, and then he quickly grabbed the jacket on the way out, totally forgot that he had just sewed on the thing, and never had a chance to rip off the needle. And there was no Erev there, so he wanted to know, what should he do? Can he walk home? It was, or was his shirt, let's say. It was his shirt. It wasn't a jacket. A jacket, okay, so you leave in shul. But it was a shirt. So you can't just take off his shirt in the middle of shul. So he didn't know what to do. So what's the eitzah? So Rav Zilberstein says, if you have a guy that you could ask to just rip off the thread, definitely you could do that, because it's a shvus to shvus makam tzorach gadol. Makam tzorach gadol, you're allowed to do a shvus to shvus. Why is it a shvus to shvus? Because ripping the thread is only an issur drabbanan of korea shalom almanas litbar. Korea is only an issur daraisa when it's almanas litbar, when you're going to use it to sew. But over here it's already sewn. You're just ripping it off shalom almanas litbar. And Shulchan Aruch says amir la akum in a makum shvus. So you're allowed to do for the sake of tzorach gadol. So this is certainly considered to be a tzorach gadol. That would be the best thing to do. But the problem is you look around shul and a lot of times there are no goyim in shul. So what do you do if there's no guy to ask to do this? He says, then he thinks it's mutter to walk home with your shirt on that way. If you're not able to go without the shirt, obviously, if it's a Kavod HaBrios issue, because we do find that that for Kavod HaBrios, we're matir yisum drabanan, and carrying this needle is only this drabanan. How do I know it? Shabbos, yir alf and beis, and it's koron, shulchan aruch, sim shenalf, lo yetze hachayit b'machal et chuvah lo b'bigdo, v'im yetze potter, that you don't go with a needle, the chayit, the tailor can't go with the needle, but if he goes out, he's potter, because ein derech hotzah bekach. For the tailor, it's der, it may be derech hotzah. For us, certainly, it's ein derech hotzah. And since it's ein derech hotzah, it would only be nisa drabanan. So he said that at least for a good eitzah, you should be no dranah from the machat, so that it's a malach shein tzricha legufa, that you're never going to use that needle again. So that it's a malach shein tzricha legufa, because you don't need to bring it to where you're taking it. So that as a malach shein tzricha legufa makes it even more kal. Okay, we'll pick up tomorrow with the next case.